Australian rules football is the greatest game on earth, but it's not to say it couldn't be better. If only there were two people completely unqualified to talk about it, yet utterly prepared to do so. Two people like that might have some radical ideas. Two people like that might just be the Footy Fixers.
Hello, I'm Charlie Clawson. He is Scott Dooley, and we are here to fix football, whether you like it or not. Thank you to everyone for your feedback over the last episode. The Big Dance. We decided that if you're going to keep the term The Big Dance, you need to introduce more dance into the grand final. This week, we want to talk about something else that is peripherally related to football. Scott, how would you explain to an alien what trade radio is?
It's a wonderful question. It's so hard to explain. It is so weird that you've got what it is essentially is it's a group of men speculating about what a group of men are going to make a certain group of men do.
Here's what I was thinking about. You know, jocks often make fun of nerds. And jocks make fun of nerds for their obsessiveness with comic books and Star Trek and fan fiction, all that kind of stuff. Trade radio is essentially fan fiction for sports fans because everyone is speculating about what trades might happen and what this might mean and what would be a good swap. And it's especially funny when you talk to supporters of specific clubs because the way they inflate the value of their player that they're trying to get rid of and then undervalue the player that they want to get in. That is the perfect formula. Is like, well, we'll give you our three shittest players and you give us your Brownlow medalist. And somehow that equates to a good deal.
Yeah. And everyone's under an injury cloud. Every single person who's getting to, here he's having trouble with his calves and, you know, and then they start speculating about, well, once the calf goes, it's the old man's injury. He's going to be stuffed. So, My one knock on the AFL trade and draft system is it's not nearly complicated enough. It needs, like, everything's got a points value and then this guy's worth that and stuff. They need to add some more, add symbols. So this guy's worth 35 points or whatever. Just two stars and a moon.
Bring in Bitcoin is what I reckon. That's how you make it. Crypto trading.
That's interesting. And then you can have like influencers like trying to sell you funny named, you know, reckon Buddy Franklin's worth $2. You're like, oh, that's pretty good.
Well, we're specifically today talking about trade radio and whether or not it needs to be fixed or how we can fix it. Because I've got to admit, this year I took a year off trade radio. In previous seasons, I have come to love trade radio. It feels like it is a 24-hour service. Like in those 2 weeks of the trade period, you are listening to various, you know, ex-footballers and commentators speculating on player movements, and there generally is nothing happening for the first like 10 days. Like there's a lot of talk. There's a lot of padding. I mean, I'm a podcaster. I know about padding. And you are getting a masterclass in Adam Cooney's going to come in and give you like his best five-way trade. And it's like, but this is all nonsense. Like you're not even really, because none of the recruiting managers for the clubs will commit to anything they're doing because everyone is waiting for the first domino to fall and then they'll start making moves. But generally, like trade period could happen in a 3-day window. There is no need for it to be a 2-week period. There's no need for it to be a dedicated radio station.
No, but even then, if it went for 3 days, everything had still happened in the last hour anyway. Yeah. Like it doesn't like make it 30 minutes and then nothing had happened for the first 25 minutes. But this year in particular, Clawson, you missed out because it was easily the most dead year since they've launched it. And they were saying it openly, like by the third day there. Like at one stage, Adam Cooney was giving recipes. Like he was just coming with cooking tips. They had nothing to talk about.
Well, the one thing I did catch up on, because I would, you know, I'd look at summaries at the end of the day or whatever, was Matt Rendell. Matt Rendell doing his risk assessments. Fantastic. Like the amount of time, it was like he's on Two Guys, One Cup. The amount of times he would like talk about like, you know, they need this player, then that player. And it's like, well, yeah, that's their captain. Or, you know, he'd write someone off or retire someone early. And it's like,
or he'd just say really mean things. He'd just be like, oh yeah, I mean that guy's on drugs anyway. What?
Yeah.
Can't say that.
So I must admit, like in the previous trade periods, not this year, but the two previous ones, St Kilda were incredibly active. You know, we brought in 7 or 8 players. And I did find it exciting. Like I did, and I was sort of suckered into, it's kind of that reality show, Bachelor-esque teasing before an ad break. You know, they're like, oh, there's something happening here and, you know, this is going on and, you know, we're going to have the Saints recruiting manager on and blah, blah, blah. And I think that, like, I often have said that the digital departments of all the AFL clubs, and in fact, the digital department for the AFL is so good. Like, I can almost enjoy the off season of football more than I enjoy the real season, especially, you know, especially when we had such a shit year this year, like, cause it's all just speculation. It's all potential. Mm. It's all like, you know, maybe if we did just bring in this player or that player, you know, suddenly that's the missing piece of the puzzle. But having then gone through a trade period where there was nothing for me to hook into and try and listen to trade radio, it's like, oh my God, this is garbage. There is absolutely nothing of interest. Like that, not for if you're invested in it and you know your club's, you know, very active, it's great. But then when you have nothing to hook into, it's just like Adam Cooney's recipes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so I think one of the things you do have to bear in mind is it is still a radio show. And there are certain things that do work in radio. Mm. So to make it more like, you know, if St Kilda trade for a key forward and you're the 13th caller through, we've got tickets to Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like have ice those kinds of appointment. Coke. Yeah, appointment listening kind of things. And
yeah, we're going to Kane Corns. He's out in the Black Thunder. He's down at Early Beach.
Yeah. Who have you got with you? It's Warren Treadray, and he's going to be doing a cover of Yellow by Coldplay. Take it away, Warren. And then everyone's clapping. You know, there'll be a crowd. You'd set up one of those, you know, those kind of tent things that you have that's branded. And I could see that. I could see it turning into a full-on FM radio station.
Well, it does sort of feel like they're moving more in that direction, doesn't it? Like in terms of, there's been slight kind of, you know, more Americanizations of the AFL in terms of free agency movement and all that kind of stuff, and the way that they focus it now, like a 365 days a year, there's AFL news. But I'm wondering if you need to make the trade period more exciting. Like, do you need to make it more of a game show? Like, is it?
Oh, you so know, you're putting it on the period as opposed to the.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like I'm saying it's like more like you were saying radio prizes, but why don't we make the players the prize? You know, so we understand that, you know, who's a big Nat Fyfe is coming out of contract. You know, he's 30 years old.
Okay.
He's still got a couple of good years in him. But why don't we make it more exciting? So rather than like, well, Collingwood, you know, are going to give a couple of, you know, a second round draft pick and a, you know, a utility player to Fremantle, we make it a game show. We make it It's a Knockout style game show. You know I love It's a Knockout, Scott.
Yeah, you do. You really do.
So, you really, I reckon it's that we can have.
Can you explain? Can you explain It's a Knockout to people that were born
What would it? So It's a Knockout was a State of Origin contest where people would compete for the pride of their state on basically Wipeout style or gladiator style
Takeshi's obstacle courses. Style,
it's sort of like climbing things, swinging over things. I mean, my memory is hazy, right? But it was just like giant soft things that you would climb and fall off or get knocked off. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. And like to give you an idea of like the athletic prowess that was required, there'd always be like a fireman that you'd think would go really well, and then you'd realize, it's a soapy lily pad. You can't train for that. And then you'd go flying into the water. You know, there was a lot of detergent was used to kind of bring everyone back to the pack.
Okay, so Nat Fyfe is up for grabs, and Collingwood want him, Carlton want him, and the Saints want him. And so you've got to pick your three players who you think, like the fireman, would be best equipped to do an It's a Knockout course. And then those three players compete. So you can each club. And the good thing about that is you don't have to nominate, like Saints don't have to nominate Jack Steele. You don't have to nominate Scott Pendlebury. You can have a guy who's kind of a fringe player. But maybe, you know how like most clubs have project players who are great athletes, but are still learning their game. Maybe they're converted from like Gaelic football or basketball.
Yeah.
You can send them out. Like they may not have played a game for your club all year, but if they beat the obstacle course, if they make it across the soapy lily pads, then you get bloody Nat 5.
Can I just twist that and maybe it's make it the recruiting stuff? Please.
Yeah. Oh,
so it's the
even better. So middle-aged
players,
out of condition, like dodgy hips.
Polo shirt on, pair of business slacks. You know, they've got to wear their recruiting gear.
Clipboard, I love maybe. That, but I don't think you're getting enough kind of star power with the, because no one knows the recruiting managers are. I mean, although I must admit, a year on, I'm sure a lot of Collingwood supporters would have loved to have seen Ned Guy getting hit in the face with a giant pylon.
I would have paid.
But how about the coaches? Because then you bring in the star factor. They've got a profile and you still get that kind of, you still get that hook of, well, you know, like I would love to see Chris Fagan going up against Luke Beveridge, you know, on a rope climb.
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely see that. And Dimmer, how do you reckon? Yeah, I mean, look, we're hoping the bounty balls will see us be able to land, you know, Nat. We think he'd be really good for our forward line, but, you know, there's still a lot of golf on the hall because we've got the muddy pond to get through. And yeah, I could see that. Would you have different things for different players? Like,
exactly.
So for forwards, there's a certain course you've got to do. And if you really want to get a, you know, inside bull, you've got to, maybe you've got to fight a bull. Why does it have to be so fun? Why can't it be dangerous?
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. So you're thinking life-threatening. But that's good, though, because you're
at the start of the season.
So you're theming it around the player you want. Like, because I guess, again, because we want eyeballs on this, because we're obviously going to broadcast it. So, you theme it around. If your club wants a midfield bull, well, guess what? You've got to make it across this paddock filled with actual bulls.
Filled with bulls. And then the first game,
I've just got visions of Chris Fagan in a red T-shirt sprinting for his life across the paddock.
So Chris goes through and then you can show that footage before round one and then, hey, we're with Nat Fyfe, new Brisbane Lion player, Nat Fyfe. Nat obviously wearing an armband like the rest of the boys. Yeah, you know, obviously Fags died in the off-season and came into the club. So I feel like I owe him one and, you know, we're going to be doing it for him this year. And you're like, okay, so now this adds a new layer of motivation. Because, you know, I mean, if someone dies for you to go to the club, you're going to want to get a kick, aren't you?
I mean, remember, Chris Fagan broke his hip going down the slide for the MND. I think we really have to think hard about where we're going to, I mean, where we're sending Chris Fagan into, what kind of contest we're sending him into. I mean, who do you think is the most physically capable, no matter what the challenge is, whether it's
Beveridge,
a soapy lily pad or getting across a paddock full of bulls, who's the fittest, most physically capable coach that could do it?
Beveridge, I'd say.
Yeah. I mean, his neck is as thick as a bull's neck.
Yeah.
He could. You imagine he could just run into a bull. Beveridge I reckon Chris Scott would be all right.
Adam Simpson's in good nick.
Yeah. And who would be the worst? Brett Ratton? Fagan?
Brett Ratton.
It's Stewie Jew. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. It starts and ends with Stewie Jew. But you never know. You never know, though. Like, so what if you... But see, this is... So I think boards have to think more carefully now about who they're picking as their coaches. Because what if we want a full forward who's hungry for goals? And all of a sudden, okay, you've got to eat whoever eats the most hot dogs. And and to set the standard, we've brought out, ladies and gentlemen, Joey Chestnut. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you know Joey. He's a competitive eater. And Joey, how many hot dogs can you put away? And Joey will say 200 in half an hour. Okay, 200. All right. So now, and maybe that's the thing is then Joey if Joey beats, mate, you'd have obviously have to handicap Joey, but if Joey does end up beating Stuart,
how do you handicap a competitive eater? Is that like a lap band surgery? Maybe
you give Dewey. Yeah, maybe you perform lap band surgery on them before the
event. No, because I think having watched that competitive eating, I think that they have like water they can dip the hot dogs in to make it go down easier. Joey gets no water, and Stewie Dew
or hot sauce. I don't know. Maybe right, yeah. It's gonna be fun. I don't want to see. It's very boring to see someone. Yeah.
I know you're very against the Americanization of AFL. So let's say rather than hot dogs, it's meat pies.
Okay, yeah, it's pies. And then it's pie eating contest. Stuart Dew, and it's a pie eating contest. Whoever eats the most pies gets Buddy Franklin.
Now, all right, so what we're saying is
But the current club can go in as well. So the current club can, you know, match the offer, so to speak. So maybe it's Long Live versus Dew.
Oh, I'd love to see Horse Buddy sit down against Dew. I reckon that'd be a pie eating contest for the ages.
Right, but it's bums on seats, and now all of a sudden I'm interested in what's happening with the trades.
Okay, so let's bring it back. So we're saying that, first of all, shorten trade period to be half an hour long. Does this TV show take place in that half hour, or are you saying it's in addition to?
No, I think there's a series of lead-ups, events. Fuck.
So we've just shortened the trade period, which is, I mean, the that in itself, shorter. I think that has solved the problem. But now you want to extend it with a series of TV shows leading up to our It's a Knockout contest.
Leading up to the half.
Behind the scenes documentaries.
A lot of that. Training. A lot of Last Dance. Yeah. A lot of training.
So, literally. So we're replacing 2 weeks of Trade Radio with 2 weeks of behind the scenes documentaries on the coaches who are going to compete in the half hour trade period, potential pie eating contest and soapy lily pad contest.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Justin Longmire's trying, at a putt-putt course with a tennis racket. I don't really know what they're going to throw at us, so we're just going to try everything. Yeah, I don't know.
There's a little sidebar on Justin Longmire. Do you think, Western Australians are always very sensitive about the fact that, the rest of the country doesn't take their footy news and their football players seriously. You always hear the complaint that, well, if they were played for a Victorian club, that'd be the most popular football. Do you think that Justin Longmuir, coaching in a competition where there is a more successful coach called John Longmire, is like, I mean, he's on a hiding to nothing, right? Like, he already sounds like the more famous Eastern Seaboard coach.
Yeah.
Do you think like that just sort of, I mean, did that come into Fremantle's decision? It's like, fuck, do we really have to appoint? I mean, we know he's the best candidate, but, he sounds like an off-brand John Longmire.
He also talks like an off-brand human. He's the most boring, dour person. I don't know how he got through the, I don't know who was interviewing against him, but I don't know, and how he impressed them. Because you hear him talking about you just won by a point and looks like you're going to make the finals. Yeah. And Thanks for the time. That's it. That's this interview.
I'm assuming there's hopefully going to be a lot of Two Guys, One Cup listeners who are listening to Footy Fixes as their summer series fix. And I'll let you know, Scott, that often Fremantle supporters complain the most out of all of our listeners. They say that we never give them enough attention, that we always skip over the Western Australian teams, and Frio especially we don't give enough attention to. Well, listen, we put Nat Fyfe up to trade and then it's a knockout competition. Exactly. And we just did
Chris Fagan died for your best player. Are you happy?
And we just did 2.5 minutes on your coach, whose name I couldn't even remember, even though Scott had mentioned it just beforehand. So look, you're getting your bloody Fremantle content. All right.
Well, I would love to do that study. I reckon if you walked down the Bourke Street Mall in Melbourne right now and said to people, is Mark Harvey the coach of the Fremantle Football Club? 80% of people say yes. Yeah, Harvey. Is he still? How's he going? He's been there for a while.
Well, Scott, let's make a decision. So we are saying in order to fix Trade Radio, you shorten it to a half an hour period. The trades become about competing for players, the coaches taking part in an It's a Knockout style contest. And slash in the death lead sports. Up to that contest, sorry?
Slash death sports.
Death sports.
So it's not all fun. So I think that's kind of that's the big wrinkle as I see it, is that you could, you could land Christian Petrarca if you do maybe. I mean, we've got.
Okay, so the bigger the contract the player's on, the more dangerous the contest. So, right. So if you want a Christian Petrarca,
You
basically have to swim across a lake filled with crocodiles. Or Christian Petrarca, they call him Truck. So you've got to sprint across a 8-lane freeway. Like, you've somehow got to make it like Frogger Star. You've got to make it across a freeway. Because like I said, with the theme
of the truck. Chained to two trucks that pull you apart?
What? That's, did you think that there is one coach who has a chance to survive? At least my one, there's like a
small percentage.
He rips the engines out of two Mack trucks.
It's just two trucks. Christian Petrarca, Buddy Franklin, he's your full forward. He's like, do you know how that happened? I ate 300 pies. but I think that's the thing. That's the thing of... Instead of, you know, oh, well, Christian Petrarca's worth three first rounders, we'll say. You know that's always the currency in which the top players are spoken about in trade radio. I think it is the percentage, the likelihood of death. So it's like, oh, Petrarca, he's gone up into the 90 group. You know, there's only ever three or four 90s in the AFL at any given time. Petrarca, he's walking in there. And then you start to list out all the ways in which coaches could risk their lives to get him on their list. And you tell, oh, well, I mean, they're talking about pulling him apart with tow trucks or running across a freeway. Like, there's certain things, like, because if it was running across a freeway, Stuart Jewett would have to say, respectfully, the Gold Coast Suns would like to withdraw our offer for Christian Petrarca because it involves running. However, if it's standing still or eating,
we're in.
We're buyers.
All right. So we reduced the trade period to a half hour trade period. It's a knockout slash combat sport slash eating contest slash death race. And in the 2-week period leading up to that half-hour broadcast, we do a bunch of behind-the-scenes documentaries on all the coaches and players who are going to be involved in said trade period.
I mean, it's when you put it that way, how has this not been the system?
Well, let's turn to our listeners and get their thoughts on trade radio. This is, speaking of Fremantle, this is someone who calls themselves the Frio Harbour Master. So we're already in trouble, Scott.
Okay. I'd like to apologize in advance for whatever I am about to respond to.
Frio Harbour Master says, I would prefer to listen to Parliament. Almost constant chatting about the what ifs and general predictions is excruciating. Well, buddy, we have got an exciting alternative for you coming up.
Well, is there, and to that point, is there a Hansard-style document of everything that's said on trade radio? Because that would be a fun gift for, you know, your footy fan.
Oh, my God.
You give them a bound volume of trade radio's transcripts.
Oh, that's interesting. Matt Rendell says Jack Steele's been retired for 2 years.
Yeah. Hey, honey, go to page 640. See if you can get Adam Cooney's lasagna recipe. I wouldn't mind.
Mitch says, I think you mean the Continental Tires AFL trade radio. It is utterly awful. I tend to listen to every minute of it that's available. Yes, Mitch, I totally understand that. Mork says, if I could listen to negative amounts of trade radio, I would.
Wait, so that would... Well, what would we do with Mork then? We'd have to block Mork's ears and have them talk about trades.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the only way that would work.
I think we're moving to the world of theoretical physics, aren't we? When you're talking about listening negatively.
Is this...
How do you get the sound
almost
out of your ears?
It's Schrodinger's trade radio. What's in the soundproof booth?
Back on the Western Australian jib, McNeil says, I'm a West Coast fan and I never listen. But my mate, who's a Carlton fan, mainlines it. I've never thought about that. Is trade radio, if you're a Western Australian, do you find that it's too biased? Is it too much bloody talk about Victorian clubs and Victorian teams and Victorian players or East Coast players?
I mean, if you ask them, yes. But that you could have a show called the West Coast Fremantle Show if they found out that one of the sound operators had been to Melbourne, oh, this is bullshit.
Biased. Typical. So typical biased. Victorian producer. And
jobs for the boys. Reminder, it's the AFL, not the VFL.
Maddie says, I'm morbidly fascinated by trade radio. I don't like it, but I can't look away. Yeah, I get that as well. But if you like morbidity, wait till you see our version.
Do we have an eating contest for you?
Brad says, I listen to it all the time. I love Lordo's Top 5 and Adam Cooney's Mega Trades. Well, listen, there's one fan. Sean O says, I can't stand the if, buts, and maybes. James says, I don't listen to it. Sean says, I listen to it as much as Two Guys, One Cup discuss actual games. All right, a little backhanded compliment there.
A little drive-by on the way through. Thanks.
And then Jonathan, to finish off, says, what is a radio?
Oh, hello.
Hey.
I like that. That's a bit
of...
Reverse everyone's on their phone these days. Like that.
That was Footy Fixes for another week. Keep your eyes peeled. Go to @2guys1cupAFL on Twitter to find out what next week's topics will be. We love to get your feedback. We love that you love the show. But for now, I'm Charlie Clawson.
I'm Scott Dooley. See ya. Never going to get that right, am I?